It's early 2004, and Harvard feels contemporaneously familiar and limiting to Mark Zuckerberg. The dorms, the slip-up walkways, and the libraries have nurtured him, but his vision for the Facebook is too big for a single lot. The platform's success among Harvard scholars has formerly exceeded prospects. Within weeks of launch, thousands of scholars have biographies, friend connections are multiplying, and engagement is soaring. But Mark is acutely apprehensive that growth is constrained by terrain. Facebook cannot remain a dorm room trial ever. The decision to leave Harvard isn't taken smoothly. Mark is just 19, and the path he chooses diverges sprucely from the traditional route of council completion. He's driven by urgency occasion and technology doesn't stay, and ideas are perishable. In early 2004, Mark packs up his things, flings temporary farewells to family and musketeers, and heads west to Palo Alto, California, the heart of invention, adventure capital, and Silicon Valley culture. Arriving in Palo Alto is a culture shock. The thoroughfares hum with energy, startups line every block, and the air is thick with ambition and threat. Mark and his small platoon, including co-founder Eduardo Saverin, move into a modest rented house, a now notorious Facebook house, where bedrooms double as services and the kitchen serves as a meeting room and workspace. It's then that the small Harvard design begins its metamorphosis into illicit incipiency. Waiters are set up, lines of law are rewritten and optimized, and the platoon works in an violent, nearly wild meter that blends passion, prostration, and preoccupation. The first challenge is structure. Harvard had handed a controlled terrain with fairly many druggies and predictable patterns. In Palo Alto, Mark confronts the complexity of spanning a platform to multiple universities, managing garçon loads, and icing that the point can handle rapid-fire growth. He's hands-on, rendering lifelessly, optimizing systems, and testing every point. The experience is both exhilarating and exhausting, pushing him to the limits of specialized capability. Fiscal support becomes the coming chain. While Mark and Eduardo have some particular finances, they need investors to fuel growth. Enter Sean Parker, co-founder of Napster, whose character and experience in spanning tech companies make him a vital figure. Parker recognizes Mark's gift and the platform's eventuality. He advises, instructors, and facilitates connections to investors, helping the platoon secure the first round of venture capital. The infusion of backing validates Facebook's eventuality and enables the company to hire further inventors, ameliorate structure, and prepare for public expansion. During this period, Mark's leadership style begins to solidify. He's intensively concentrated, frequently demanding, and exceptionally driven. He works side by side with his platoon, rendering late into the night, debugging and repeating. Yet he also develops a knack for vision, casting, articulating the platform's eventuality, setting ambitious pretensions, and motivating others to commit to a participated purpose. This mix of specialized skill, ambition, and subtle seductiveness begins to define his approach to operation, one that will both attract gift and sometimes produce pressure. Social dynamics among the platoon are complex. Eduardo Saverin, firstly furnishing business guidance and investment, struggles to balance his academic commitments with the demands of a fleetly growing incipiency. Conflicts begin to crop over places, equity, and strategy, an exemplification of the challenges Mark will navigate constantly as Facebook scales. Mark's violent focus and grim pace occasionally disaccord with others' prospects, but these pressures also edge his decision, timber, and clarify the scale necessary to execute a bold vision. As the summer of 2004 progresses, Facebook expands beyond Harvard. Assignations are transferred to scholars at Ivy League seminaries, including Columbia, Yale, and Stanford. Each new launch presents specialized challenges, but also reinforces a critical sapience people crave connection, and digital networks can grease connections in ways preliminarily inconceivable. The early success is intoxicating. Every new stoner, every new connection is evidence that the platform resonates with mortal jest at an ABCDarian position. The small Palo Alto house transforms into a hive of invention. White bards are filled with plates illustrating garçon armature, stoner inflow, and implicit features. Laptops hum constantly, fueled by caffeine and preoccupation. Mark's coding style is scrupulous yet rapid-fire. He iterates in real time, observing patterns in Stoner Jest and conforming algorithms consequently. Features like the friend request, profile customization, and print sharing begin to take shape, informed both by suspicion and data-driven trial. By late 2004, Facebook moves out of the confines of dorms and small networks to a broader followership. The company incorporates, attracting further professional staff and upgrading its structure. Yet despite the growing complexity, Mark maintains his core gospel simplicity, usability, and rapid-fire replication. Every decision is measured against the question, does this ameliorate the Stoner experience and strengthen social connectivity? Beyond technology, Mark begins scuffling with the counter-accusations of rapid-fire success. He's youthful, facing enormous responsibility, and under violent scrutiny. Every decision carries threat, specialized, fiscal, and interpersonal. He learns to weigh short-term pressure against long-term vision, to anticipate challenges in spanning both a platform and an association. These early months in Palo Alto are a gauntlet, forging chops in leadership, strategy, and prosecution that will define his approach for times to come. By the end of this first phase in California, Mark Zuckerberg is no longer just a Harvard sensation experimenting with law. He's an author, a leader, and a visionary, erecting the foundation of a company with the eventuality to review social commerce encyclopedically. The move from dorm room to incipiency is further than geographical. It marks a metamorphosis in mindset, ambition, and compass. The Facebook is no longer a lot novelty. It's a living system with growing influence, demanding attention, imagination, and grim drive. As the sun sets over Palo Alto, casting a golden gleam over the modest house that has come a mecca of creation, Mark sits at his office, fritters poised above the keyboard. Lines of law, Stoner data, and ambitious ideas meet on the screen. The trip from curiosity in Dobbs Ferry to ambition in Cambridge has led him then. The coming phase will test him, the platform, and the platoon in ways no bone could prognosticate. But for now, in this moment, the spark of a global miracle is alive, fluttering steadily in the hands of a youthful inventor determined to connect the world. By 2005, Facebook is no longer just a rookie incipiency operating out of a Palo Alto house. The platform has expanded beyond the Ivy League, attracting scholars from universities across the United States. The pace of growth is stunning. Every week, new druggies are subscribing up, biographies are being created, and connections
are multiplying. The early network Mark envisaged is beginning to take shape not just digitally, but socially, as scholars form groups, Gemütlichkeit, and communities within the platform. For Mark Zuckerberg, spanning Facebook is as much a specialized challenge as it's a strategic bone. Waiters are pushed to their limits, and a platoon works lifelessly to optimize performance. He develops a hands-on approach, frequently rendering late into the night, debugging critical systems, and experimenting with new features. Every decision is driven by the question, what will ameliorate the Stoner experience and keep people engaged? It's an iterative process, fueled by data, suspicion, and a nearly compulsive focus on simplicity and usability. Investor interest grows as the platform demonstrates real eventuality. Early adventure plutocrats' fate, not just the rapid-fire relinquishment among scholars, but the larger counter-accusations of a connected social network. In 2005, Peter Thiel, co-founder PayPal, becomes one of Facebook's first major investors, furnishing both capital and mentorship. Thiel's involvement brings confirmation and credibility, signaling that Facebook is further than a council trial. It's a company with serious intentions. The platoon in Palo Alto expands. Programmers, contrivers, and masterminds join the company, transubstantiating the house into a chaotic but vibrant office. White boards are covered with plates mapping Stoner Jest, Garçon Armature, and Point Development. Mark, though still intensively concentrated on rendering, begins to assume further liabilities as a CEO, making opinions about hiring, strategy, and long-term vision. It's a period of literacy by doing. Miscalculations are ineluctable, but the assignments are immediate and frequently expensive. Among the early inventions during this period is the preface of the news feed, a point that would latterly come one of Facebook's most defining aspects. The idea is simple druggies should be suitable to see updates about musketeers and conditioning in one consolidated sluice. Enforcing it still is complex, taking new algorithms, back-end adaptations, and careful consideration of stoner experience. The news feed embodies Mark's gospel: connect people, make relations intuitive, engage the platform while keeping it simple. But with growth comes pressure. Connections within the platoon are tested, particularly with Eduardo Saverin. Dissensions over strategy, equity, and spending begin to surface. Eduardo, originally a trusted mate, feels decreasingly sidelined as Mark and the other early platoon members pursue aggressive expansion. These conflicts herald unborn legal controversies and punctuate the challenges of balancing fellowship with business in a fleetly evolving incipiency. Mark also confronts the pressures of public perception. As Facebook earnings elevation, media attention increases. The platform is praised for invention but also scanned for sequestration enterprises, exclusivity, and aggressive expansion tactics. Mark, still in his early 20s, learns to navigate review, media interest, and the complications of running a company in the public eye. These assignments shape his approach to leadership, threat operation, and strategic communication. Specialized invention continues at a grim pace. Facebook introduces features like print sharing, groups, and messaging, all designed to increase stoner engagement and produce a further connected network. Mark's coding chops are central to this process, but he also begins to understand the significance of delegation, cooperation, and hiring people with reciprocal chops. The balance between maintaining specialized control and empowering a growing platoon becomes a defining challenge. The platform's rapid-fire growth leads to functional challenges. Waiters crash under the weight of millions of druggies. Security vulnerabilities crop, and spanning systems to meet global demand becomes a constant concern. Mark responds by fostering a culture problem, working and responsibility. Failures are seen as data points, trials, and opening for enhancement rather than lapses. This approach not only strengthens a platform, but also reinforces a culture of adaptability and invention among the platoon. By 2006, Facebook is no longer limited to university networks. The platform opens to high academy scholars, professionals, and ultimately the general public, marking the morning of its metamorphosis into a global social network. Mark's vision of connecting people on a massive scale is no longer theoretical. It's materializing in real time. The growth is both exhilarating and dispiriting, taking nonstop adaption and grim focus. This period also solidifies Mark's character as a visionary leader. He's honored not only for specialized skill but for the capability to anticipate trends, understand stoner jest, and execute a long-term vision. Investors, associates, and the media begin to admit the disruptive eventuality of Facebook. Mark, still in his early 20s, is leading a company that's reconsidering social commerce and shaping digital culture. By the end of this phase, the Facebook platoon has grown in size, compass, and ambition. The platform is robust, point-rich, and passing exponential growth. Mark Zuckerberg has transitioned from a dorm room programmer to an incipiency CEO navigating complex, specialized, functional, and social challenges. The foundation for global expansion, invention, and influence is forcefully in place, setting the stage for the coming chapter of Facebook's rise, one that will involve strategic accessions, transnational growth, and elaboration of the platform into a dominant force in the digital age. As Occasion 2, Part 2 closes, marks its girdle by waiters, laptops, and whiteboards filled with law and plates. The world is watching, though many completely grasp the scale of what's unfolding. Facebook is no longer a novelty. It's a movement, a system that's reshaping the way people connect, communicate, and interact. The coming way will test the company, its leadership, and Mark's vision in unknown ways. But for now, the network grows, and the design for a global social revolution is getting reality. By 2007, Facebook is no longer a rookie network or a niche university platform. It has become a dominant force in social networking, boasting millions of druggies, and commanding attention from media, investors, and challengers likewise. The rapid-fire ascent still brings turbulence. Growth is exhilarating, but it magnifies internal conflicts, strategic opinions, and the pressures of leadership. Mark Zuckerberg, still in his early 20s, must navigate these challenges with clarity, perfection, and an arising sense of authority. One of the most significant early challenges is the growing pressure with co-founder Eduardo Saverin. Eduardo, who handed the original backing and business guidance, feels decreasingly marginalized as Mark leans more on Sean Parker and other counsels. Dissensions over strategy, equity, and resource allocation consolidate. Mark Ray, concentrated on growth and the specialized direction of the company, is frequently perceived as cold or dismissive in these competitions. The disunion ultimately
culminates in a legal battle over power and shares, a conflict that will continue for times. For Mark, this is an assignment in the complex crossroad of fellowship, business, and ambition, a painful but necessary ritual of passage in the elaboration of an author. Meanwhile, Sean Parker, co-founder of Napster, exerts significant influence on Facebook's line. Parker's vision, entrepreneurial experience, and connections to Silicon Valley investors accelerate the company's growth. He advocates for bold moves, rapid-fire expansion, and professionalization of the business, which includes formal objectification, hiring directors, and raising adventure capital. Mark benefits from Parker's mentorship, but must balance it with his own instincts. He begins learning the delicate art of hearkening without surrendering his core vision, a skill essential for leadership at scale. Specialized and functional challenges continue to test the platoon. As Facebook opens to the public, waiters are pushed to capacity, new features bear rapid-fire deployment, and security vulnerabilities demand immediate attention. Mark is at the center of the storm, rendering alongside masterminds, troubleshooting critical failures, and icing that the platform remains stable. These violent jests support his problem, working chops, and his belief in iterative development test, fail, acclimate, and ameliorate. Each extremity strengthens both the platform and Mark's resoluteness. During this period, Facebook introduces vital features that define the social network experience. The expansion of the news feed, print trailing, and messaging systems transfigure the platform from a directory-style service into a living, interactive social ecosystem. Mark's deep understanding of mortal jest informs these developments. He observes how people connect, partake, and engage online, using this data to upgrade algorithms and affiliate design. It's an approach that blends empathy, psychology, and specialized moxie, performing in a platform that feels both intuitive and compelling. Investor attention intensifies. High profile adventure plutocrats fate Facebook's eventuality not only as a company, but as an artistic miracle. Funding rounds increase in size, bringing both fiscal coffers and responsibility. Mark navigates this terrain with a combination of specialized sapience and strategic foresight. He begins to understand the liabilities of leadership managing prospects, communicating vision, and making delicate opinions that will affect hundreds of workers, millions of druggies, and the company's long-term line. The company culture evolves fleetly during this period. The small, informal terrain of the Palo Alto house is replaced by further structured services, formal processes, and professional places. Yet Mark maintains the morality of invention and speed that defined the early days. Work is violent, hours are long, and trial is encouraged. Miscalculations are treated as learning openings. Mark's leadership is occasionally centralizing, demanding, concentrated, and exacting, but it sets the tone for a company that thrives on challenge, creativity, and grim pursuit of vision. By late 2007, Facebook faces new external pressures. Challengers crop, copying features and strategies. The media scrutinizes every move, from sequestration opinions to growth strategies. Druggies' prospects evolve fleetly, demanding nonstop enhancement and invention. Mark's response is characteristic focus on what druggies need, invest in scalable technology, and reiterate faster than anyone differently. He begins to see Facebook not simply as a platform, but as a system able of shaping social commerce on a global scale. The conflicts and heads of this period also educate Mark important assignments about adaptability, trust, and control. He learns that leadership requires making tough choices, occasionally at the expenditure of Gemütlichkeit, and that vision must be balanced with prosecution. The legal disagreement with Eduardo Saverin for case isn't just a business issue. It's a constructive experience in concession, strategy, and the emotional complexity of running a company. Also, the guidance of Sean Parker highlights the value of mentorship and networking in spanning an incipiency to the coming position. By the end of this phase, Facebook is poised for unknown growth. The company has moved from a council trial to a public platform with millions of druggies, a professional platoon, and substantial fiscal backing. Mark Zuckerberg, who began as a curious teenager rendering in Dobbs Ferry, is now an author navigating the realities of running a high-stakes, fleetly expanding company. His combination of specialized brilliance, strategic sapience, and grim focus has deposited Facebook to become not just a dominant social network, but a global miracle. Occasion 2 closes with Mark reflecting on the trip so far. The challenges have been immense, the stakes advanced than ever, but the vision remains clear. He's shaping a platform that connects people, influences culture, and changes the way the world interacts. The turbulence of the once many times, conflicts, heads, and growth pains has forged both the company and its leader. The coming chapter will take Facebook beyond the United States into transnational requests and cement its part as a defining force in the digital age.